school wasn't very interested in academics and learning, being educated. But I've lived long enough to know that we need to be learners. Everybody say learners. I emphasize that word today because it is something I hope we never cease in doing, and that is learning. Because learning is the key to knowing, and knowing is the key to walking. When you walk in knowledge, you are walking beyond simply belief, because you can believe error. You can believe a lie. You can believe anything, really. And it's not really believing that makes a man free. In fact, believing can be binding. It's knowing the truth that liberates an individual. Everybody say, know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I want to share today on, I think, one of my favorite topics, and that is the love of God. I've preached and taught many times on this subject, and I'm finding that it is inexhaustible. It is something that we can continue to receive revelation from simply because God is love. God will always love because that's who He is. It's not hard for God to love you, your neighbor, or the world, because God is love. He just is. In fact, love is the source or the essence or the motive of His behavior. Now, let me make a statement. Could you imagine a God who is just and righteous and holy, but yet not be love? Think with me. Could you imagine just for a moment a God that is just, holy, and righteous, but void of love? If that were the case, none could be saved. None of us could be saved. But I'm glad to reaffirm and proclaim and declare that God is love. Amen. Let me read a portion of scripture. I'll turn your attention to the book of Romans, chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. We'll read some verses there. That way you can be seated. If you'll put Romans 8 verse 38 on the screen. Romans 8 verse 38. All right. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. The next verse. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. It wasn't talking about loving God, but separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Someone say, the love of God. Amen. Tell someone, the love of God is perfect. It is perfect love. Amen. Let's pray together for this time, this service, and what God wants to do in our lives and say to us today. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your word. It is truth. I delight in Your word. Lord, You know that more than anyone. I delight to know You. I delight in the word of God, not just knowing it, but doing it. Hallelujah. even against my will, even against, Lord, the desires of my own flesh. I desire to know and to do your will and please you. And I believe these people do the same. And I ask God, that you would help us today, Lord, quicken us to hear, to receive from you, and to become doers of the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Praise God. God is love. And as I mentioned earlier today, that God does not have a hard time loving us. God just simply is love. Why don't you say that one more time? God is love. Amen. It is the source of his behavior. It's not just his behavior, but it's actually the source of his behavior. Now, I realize that we can behave when we feel it is appropriate to behave in a certain manner. We know how to behave, don't we? And in fact, we know that if we go about our own way, doing our own thing according to the flesh, many times we will probably be misbehaving. So it really takes discipline to behave ourselves in a way that is appropriate and that is acceptable. Are you hearing me? Okay. And as children, we can have, you know, a bad day. We can be having a bad moment. We can be angry, upset, frustrated, and really have a difficult time behaving in a manner that is acceptable, that's appropriate, that's suitable. But it can be done. We can exercise restraint. We can zip. We can put a smile on, and I realize that many people do that. But that's not really what's going on the inside. God doesn't have to paint a smile. God doesn't have to zip his lip to keep from saying something, or, you know, God just is love. And God, he doesn't need to worry about behaving himself. God is love, and love is the source. It is the motive of his behavior. Isn't that amazing? Aren't you glad that God loves you? Not only is God love, but you are the object of his love. Praise the Lord. Of course, we learned that through reading the scripture. And I personally believe that love is the total sum of all of his attributes. Now hear this. We know that God is holy, God is just, God is righteous, and you can go on and on and on. So I'm not saying that God is love and nothing else. Because if God was love and nothing else, then he would be imbalanced. And he is not imbalanced. He doesn't have a chemical imbalance. God is very well balanced. He is not just love, but he is also righteous and holy and just and pure. And he is the only wise God. So God is the total sum of all of his attributes combined. He is very balanced in his attributes. Someone say, praise the Lord. So why does God redeem man? Why does God reconcile man unto himself? Is it because of our redeeming qualities? I don't think so. I think it's because of his redeemer quality. I think it's because God is love. I mean, if you look back in the scripture, he made us from what? He made us from the very lowest element, and that is earth, dirt, soil. He stooped way down, and he formed a man, but yet he didn't stop with a formation. He breathed into that form, and man became a living soul by the breath of God. Why did God do that? Because God is love. And he's looking for an object to love. He's looking for fellowship. He's looking for relationship. Someone to reciprocate that love. That makes sense? Tremendous. So God redeems and restores and revives and reconciles because he loves us. He loves humanity. Amen. Why did he come into the world? Because he so loved us. And he wanted to reconcile us back to himself. In fact, did you notice that the sun was shining today. There was plenty of oxygen in our atmosphere. Did you notice that? You probably didn't. You probably didn't say, wow, look, the sun's shining. No, we just kind of take that for granted. And, you know, we live our lives and we forget that God reigns on the just and the unjust. That God is good and blesses those who are not thankful. Why? Because God is good. And he is love. His goodness proceeds from his love. That's tremendous. It's amazing. Why is God long-suffering and merciful? Because God is love. I'm so glad he's love. Aren't you? Aren't you glad that he's love? Amen. And because he is love, you and I can be forgiven. We can receive mercy. We can receive grace. Because God is love. Now, does love have the ability to hate? Absolutely. Love that God is hates sin. And that is truth. God loves a soul, but he does not always approve of the behavior of that soul or that spirit of that person. So that's why we need to understand that although God is love, that's not all that he is. And Paul here said, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Well, he didn't say nothing shall separate us. He says, I am persuaded that nothing shall separate us. Now, there may be some people here today or people who are not here that they may not be as persuaded as Paul was. Paul was absolutely convinced and persuaded that nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And I kind of wrote my own little quote here. I personally am persuaded that nothing will stop, keep, prevent, or hinder God from loving you. However, I believe there are some things in us that can keep, stop, hinder, prevent, and oppose us from loving him. Does that make sense? I remember some time ago, maybe a few years ago, I don't know how long it's been, but the Lord was kind of sharing some things with me during a service. And he brought this scripture back to my attention. And so I was thinking, yeah, there's nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Death can't, nothing can stop God, hinder God, prevent God from loving us. But there are some things that could stop you, hinder you from loving him. And that's the question. You know, when God asks you a question, he already knows the answer. He's not asking you a question so you can give him the answer. He already knows the answer. He's asking a question because he wants you to answer the question. He wants you to have the understanding, amen, that you need, that I need, that we need. So I wrote here, I am persuaded that there could be some things, and I guess I can just sum that up and say internal things, influences, attitudes, relationships that could really hinder you, prevent you from loving the Lord as you should. Everybody say, as we should. Now, I'm not talking about say, oh, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. And that's good. That's praise. But people that don't love the Lord can sing songs and praise the Lord. The Bible says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. So praising the Lord is not evidence that you love him. It's keeping his commandments. That is the evidence that you love him. Because love says, I want to please him. I want to please him. And it can be very difficult because of the weakness of our flesh. Everybody say, the weakness of flesh. Flesh doesn't want to pray. Flesh doesn't want to forgive. Flesh doesn't want to overlook certain things. Flesh just wants to handle things the way it, you know, thinks things ought to be handled. So flesh is contrary to the Spirit of God. Of course, we know that by not only through experience, but also through the Scripture. He says, your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. And where we get in trouble is when we think that our thoughts are his thoughts and our ways are his ways. No. No, not unless you not only have the mind of Christ, but you have to submit to and tap in and access the mind of Christ. Just because you have something doesn't mean you're accessing it, utilizing it, and drawing from it. Does that make sense? You can have a lot of gas in your tank, but there are some other steps if you're wanting to utilize that resource. So God supplies us with so many things, but we have to learn how to access and utilize the things that God has blessed us with. So let me move forward here. I have a lot of information, some of the things that you have heard already and will hear in the next little while, some of the things I've said before, and it's just reiterating, reaffirming, and stirring us up, and getting us to think about, reconsider, recall, and remember the things that God expects of us. Everybody say, God has expectations of me. Now, I know sometimes your expectations of God may be a little unrealistic, and they may be based on your carnal mindedness. It's so necessary for us to know the will of God if we're going to pray accordingly. If we're going to pray and get the right answer, we need to know the will of God. That's why we need to increase in our knowledge of God and our knowledge of His will. A lot of people are just, you know, Jesus is just their candy man. You know, He's like their Santa Claus. And if He don't do certain things, they get mad, they get upset, and some, you know, maybe even digress and fall away simply because they're discouraged because they're not getting everything they want when they want it. All right. So don't let anything stop you from loving the Lord and continuing to walk with Him. Praise the Lord. John chapter 13, verses 34. I want you to turn there with me. John 13, verse 34 and 35. You there? Just say praise God. She's there. Thank you. A new commandment. Everybody say a new commandment. Now, you've read the Old Testament and perhaps some of you can quote the commandments that God gave to and through Moses to the people. But here in John 13, He says, a new commandment I give unto you. And he continues and He says, that you love one another. Everybody say, love one another. Now, we talk about it. We occasionally we even think about it. But when we read this, we really need to understand God's expectation of us. Love one another. And notice He didn't say, this is an option, this is a good idea, this is something I want you to consider. No. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. And notice this word just stood out to me recently, more so than ever. He says, love one another as. That's a big word. Are you reading? You love one another as I have loved you. And we'll help you understand how we're going to love as He has loved us. But this is what He said. He's sowing the seed. Love one another as I have loved you. And you may ask the question, well, is that possible? Well, with God, all things are possible. You're very limited. I'm very limited in my humanity. But with God, all things are possible. And He says, love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Period. Next verse says what? Many of you can quote this, have heard it before. By this, everybody say, by this. Not because we, you know, high-five one another, go to church together. These things are good, and they're right. They're important. They're necessary. Okay? They really are. But there's more to it than that. He says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that you are people who follow me, who follow my teaching, who follow my word. Amen. If you have love, he didn't say love for each other. He didn't say have kind, affectionate feelings for one another. Because you can love someone even when you're angry at them. How many has children? Huh? How many has spouses? Hello? You can love someone even though you're angry with them or disappointed in them. So he didn't say have feelings and butterflies and just, all these warm fuzzies for someone else. He says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Everybody say one to another. That's action. And this is some insight that I just received. In fact, I was preaching in Okeechobee last week, and the Lord quickened this to me. I'm like, wow, I never really thought of it that way. But you know the verse of Scripture where Jesus was teaching, and he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You recall that verse? Do you recall that verse? In the back rows, do you recall that verse? Let your light so shine before men. Okay. Well, hear this. If you understand God's expectations of us, when he's talking about love, loving one another and having love one to another, it's when he says, let your light so shine before men, we think automatically, well, if I feed the poor, if I, visit, those that I don't know, the strangers, and if I do this and do this and do this, then I'm fulfilling it. And of course, you and I know that you can do all of that and not be motivated by love. We can actually be motivated by guilt. How many knows that to be true? There are things that we do because we feel guilty. That's not love. But we can be motivated by love. But when he's saying here, let your light so shine before men, if you compare that with John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. The good works that the world needs to see is not just that we feed the homeless, but the good works that the world needs to see is how we treat one another. And so if you study the scripture, I can give you more information on that. In fact, if you want to look at Galatians 6:10, you don't have to turn there. And you will understand that he is especially talking about the household of faith, the brother, your brother and your sister. Amen. So the good works is not just something that should be seen outside among strangers, but the good works that should be seen is the good works among ourselves, how we treat one another. Okay? Because love is not just noun, it is also verb, it is also action. So the people around us, they are going to make judgments about us based on what they see and what they hear. And that's why there's certain things that I don't say around certain people, because they could actually misunderstand, misconceive, and have improper judgment of my relationship with my church or with my brother. So there's certain things that I don't say around my kids, because they're not mature enough to even perceive or comprehend. And so, in other words, instead of, if I have a problem, with a brother or with a sister or whatever, then the Lord gives me instructions on what to do, how to respond to that and so forth. But if I go about and just speak all of the things that I disapprove of and am disappointed of, and guess what? Instead of letting your light so shine, you're doing the opposite. They don't want to go to church with you because what they hear coming out of your mouth and the attitude by which you are speaking it. So when you go to
you know, your family reunion, or you're sitting at your home, whether it's with your spouse or with your children or with your grandparents, whoever, don't let any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. If there's corrupt communication in your spirit, then carry that either to them or to Jesus Christ, because the world doesn't need to hear that stuff, because they're going to judge your Christianity by how you treat one another. You can feed the poor, and that's great, and we should. But everybody's feeding the poor these days. In other words, there's a lot of groups doing that. But there's only one group of people that the Bible says you should have love one to another, so that all men know that you follow me. Amen. And listen, walking in the Spirit is following him. Does that make sense? Walking in the Spirit is following the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we follow him. That's how we walk with him. We learn how to walk in the Spirit. I didn't say have the Spirit, experience the Spirit, and have the gifts of the Spirit, because you can have all the gifts of the Spirit. You can speak with tongues of men and angels. You can prophesy. You can have all knowledge. You can feed the poor. You can give your body to be burned. And the Bible says you can do all that and still not have charity. You can do all of that and still not have the right source, the right motivation. You can be doing it, but you don't have charity as your motive. Is that okay so far? Are you guys staying awake? Why don't you look at somebody and say, hey, you awake over there? Huh? Why don't you tell them Jesus Christ, the Word, is speaking today? And you need to look beyond flesh and blood and see and hear the voice of the living God. Because it's really not what I say that comes out of me that's important. It's what proceeds out of the mouth of God that we're going to live by. Amen. Praise God. Reading your Bible is good. And man, and we should study the Word of God to show ourselves approved unto God. But listen, when God is speaking through a minister of the gospel, whether it's a new convert, prophet, pastor, teacher, we need to hear the rhema, because that is how we're going to live. Amen. We're going to live by what proceeds out of the mouth of God, the mouthpiece of God. Amen. I threw that in there for free just in case you needed reminding. So it's very important. I know that when I talk certain things in front of my kids, they don't really value it as much as I do. They don't appreciate it as much as I do. But I love to be around people who value the Word of God, the ways of God, their relationship with God. And they're not content with elementary school Christianity. They want to continue growing, amen, from one place to another, from one level to another, from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Praise the Lord. Am I doing all right today? Okay, I'm trying to behave. This is John 14, verses number 15. I don't know if we'll be able to get back to the difference between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, but we may, who knows. So that way we can kind of connect the dots for you. John 14, verse number 15, he says, if you love me, keep. That means continue in. Everybody say keep. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Continue in my commandments. And I don't think that we'll be able to do that unless we know what he expects and instructs and commands us to do. We no doubt should learn more than just what's recorded in the book of Acts. We thank God that there is things there that we really need, that we absolutely need. But there's more to knowledge, you know, as far as knowing God and his ways than what's recorded in the book of Acts. We need to know what God spoke, not just in the Old Testament, but also through the Apostle Paul, the letters to the church. We need to know what God wants, what God expects, how we can please him. John 15, 12, this is my commandment. Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. And here's that two-letter word again, as I have loved you. Now, I'm going to give you the key to fulfilling this, complying, conforming to this commandment. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. By the way, this is the will of God. Why don't you look at someone real close and you say, you see that verse right there? You see that verse right there? Tell them that's the will of God for your life. You wonder what the will of God is? That's the will of God for your life. Amen. Come on, tell them again. Say, hey, pay attention. That's the will of God. Come on. Pay attention. That's the will of God. Praise the Lord. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, the question is, how are we going to love one another as he has loved us? We say, well, how is that possible? And we mentioned earlier, with God, all things are possible. And if you read the book of Acts, you'll come to the understanding real quickly, and you've heard this before, that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Thank you for that overwhelming response. The love of God is shed abroad. It is distributed internally by the Holy Ghost. And so Jesus is speaking things that they were not capable of doing at that moment. Because you can't walk in agape until you receive agape. And the only way you can receive agape, charity, perfect love, is through the Holy Ghost. So you and I cannot fulfill the commandment, the new commandments that he gave us, without being born again. We've got to have the source if we're going to fulfill the commandment of God. If we're going to love one another as he has loved us, then we have to have the same source whereby he loved us with. Does that make sense? Praise God. We've got to have that love. Not the filio, but the agape love, if we're going to fulfill this commandment. So that's great news. That not God didn't just command us to do something and then just say, well, just go out and figure out and do it the best you can. No, no, no. Not only did he tell us what to do, he empowered us to do it. Does that make sense? Not only did he tell us what to do, he empowered us to do it. Amen. Why don't you just raise your hands and your voice and thank the Lord, amen, that he has not just told you what to do, but he has given you the power whereby you can do it. Amen. He's given you the source. Hallelujah. The strength, the ability. Praise God. And that's why, one reason why the scripture says, with God all things are possible. With God, I can do everything that pleases him. Amen. Because he's the power supply. Praise God, he's the power supply. And there's tremendous, tremendous power, strength, ability in the love of God. So we keep the commandments that Jesus gave to us through the Holy Ghost. Amen. But listen, just because you and I are not, or failing or neglecting to fulfill that, it doesn't mean we don't have the Holy Ghost. It just means we're choosing not to walk in it, yield to it. Okay? As we mentioned earlier, you can have something but yet not be giving place, not letting, not yielding, not giving yourself to. In fact, and I'm skipping a lot. hopefully I'll be able to cover it adequately and you'll have a good understanding. Of course, you're going to continue to grow in your knowledge and understanding, I hope. But this is what the scripture said in Corinthians chapter 14. This is the statement he makes. Right after he teaches us, the Apostle Paul, right after he teaches us what love is and what love does, as well as what love is not and what love does not do. There's eight in each category. There's eight things that describe charity is, what charity does, and there's eight things that describe what charity is not and what charity does not. And so you can go through that list. Maybe we'll get to it today. We've got an hour and a half left. So, I just wanted to see if you'd catch that. But this is what he says in chapter 14 after he discusses charity, what it is, what it's not, what it does not. In chapter 14, he says, follow after charity. Huh? Didn't Jesus say, take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me? When you follow Jesus, you're following after charity. You're pursuing charity. Amen. Charity has become your focus, your priority. Hallelujah. Amen. And we know that we're not doing it in a physical sense as far as following the man Christ Jesus, but we have the spirit of Christ Jesus in us because Christ was the personification of love. That's right. And then when he said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Praise the Lord. Amen. And of course, you know, Jesus taught us and demonstrated his love not only for the disciples but for the world when he gave his life. We know the ultimate of man's love is dying for his friends. How many would die? Don't answer, but how many would die for your friend? Probably some, maybe not all, but you'd probably die at least for your children, wouldn't you? But you sure wouldn't die for your enemy. You sure wouldn't die for your enemy and for your persecutors and for the ungodly and the unjust and the unholy, would you? No. But God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died. So Christ didn't just die for his friends. He died for the unjust, the ungodly, the unholy, the persecutors. That's perfect love. So the love of God that dwelt in Jesus was, it transcended, it superseded, it went beyond human ability to love. Oh, the love of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The love of God. Amen. And it's through that love that we're able to obey his commandment and love others and even love our neighbor as ourselves. Praise God. Powerful love. My, my. Love that motivates. My, my, my. 1 John chapter number 2. But whoso keepeth his word, that is not just part of his word, because sometimes we have our little agendas that we want to accomplish, and while we're trying to accomplish our little agenda, which is just a small segment or piece, we forget about the bigger picture, what God's trying to accomplish in us as individuals. And this is what he said, but whoso keepeth, notice the word keepeth, his word, that is in totality, in its entirety, in him verily is the love of God, or the agape, or the charity of God, perfected. That means it's completed, it's reached maturity. It is in its fullest capacity. It is being fully expressed when we do what he said. 1 John chapter number 4, verses 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Put that on the screen, please, Sister Dawn. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. We'll just deal with those two because we don't really have time to go through the rest. But, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth, there's two things mentioned here. Look at this scripture. Two things it mentions is the result of fulfilling this. And everyone that loveth, if you're loving, according to this scripture, there are two things that are taking place, or that one has already taken place. Are you ready for it? Number one, you're born of God. And just think about the love of God shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. So you can't accomplish this without the Holy Ghost. So you're able to love is of God, and everyone that loveth, everyone that is doing this, is number one, born of God, and number two, knoweth God. All right, did you see that? So there's two things that must be in order for you to be walking in compliance with this verse of Scripture. Everyone that loveth. In other words, if I am truly loving my brother, loving my neighbor, as Christ has loved me, it's because of two things. Number one, I've been born of God. And number two, I'm continuing to know God affectionately, intimately. I'm continuing in my relationship. I'm walking in the Spirit. And because I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm not gratifying the desires of my human nature. And human nature is contrary to divine nature. I wish somebody could hear me right now. Praise God. I'm speaking revelation in this house. Your nature is contrary to divine nature. But the Bible says through the promises of God, we're able to be partakers of divine nature. And when we follow divine nature, we do things that please him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And for without faith, it is impossible to please him. And so we learn to walk by knowledge. Knowledge of truth. Praise the Lord. Born of God and knows God. Verse number 8. If you're not loving. Bible says he that loveth not. Doesn't say you're not born of God. Because you can be born of God and still not be loving your brother. Notice the scripture. But he that loveth not knoweth not. So there's a lack of knowing there. Because you can be born of God and not continue knowing God, and the result be you will not love as he has loved you. For God is love. Let me find a place to close here. I wrote a statement, a question. I said, how does love respond? How does love respond to conflict? How does love respond to people, problems, pressure, stress, anxiety? How does love respond? How does love respond to maltreatment? Someone done you wrong. Someone said something about you. How does love respond to that? I didn't ask you how does righteousness respond to that. Because we have righteous indignation. But if all we have is righteous indignation and we're not following charity, then we're way off balance and we're off course. All right, are you hearing me? So how does love respond when God promotes your brother when you put in the time? In fact, you may have put in more time than he did, but God promotes your brother. So how does love respond? How does love respond when they get the credit for work that you did? How does love respond to that? Huh? Look in Corinthians chapter 13 and refresh your memory, and you will see how love responds to that. It vaunteth not itself. There's no bragging. There's no vainglory. There's no self-praise. There's no self-promotion. There's no boasting. Amen. Hallelujah. And this is the powerful thing, that if we choose love, if we pursue love, if we yield to love, if we follow after love, amen, then this is going to be the result. We are going to experience its power and its strength and ability to drive out, to cast out, to get rid of all fear that keeps you from right relationship with God and with people. Because fear causes you and I to avoid, to hide, to not confront. But when you yield to love, if you yield to love, you will experience its power to drive out and to cast out fear. Ooh, my. Because he that feareth is not made perfect in love, but perfect love casteth out all fear. And listen, the perfect love is love that has been perfected in you. Let's stand together. It's 10:56. Praise God. God's been blowing my mind with this subject. Praise God. The love of God. The love of God. How does love respond? My. How does love respond? My. Let's ask Joseph. Let's ask Joseph. When Joseph came to the knowledge, when God let him in on a little secret, he was able to respond. He was able to embrace. He was able to forgive. Oh my, how does love respond? Love one another as I have commanded you. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, because you have love one to another. And that love is not of yourselves, that love is of God. Let's raise our voice, our hands to the Lord today. What a word from the Lord. What a word from the Lord. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, the love. Oh, the love that edifies. Oh, the love that is long-suffering. Hallelujah, the love that worketh no ill toward his neighbor. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The love that does not recall or recollect or choose to remember the ill that was done, the ought that was done. Oh, perfect love, perfect love. I choose that today. And may we ever choose that continually in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Thank you for your attentiveness in Sunday school. You can refresh yourselves, and we'll begin our main service here shortly. God bless you.